So the tightness that's held in our throat radiates through our whole body, causing our cervix and our vaginal muscles, which is where we hold an enormous amount of emotion and memory and history and trauma and tension. And it causes our cervix and our vaginal muscles to be tight and not in a good way. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode. So firstly, I want to apologize if you notice that I sound a little bit congested or nasally. If you're listening to the video, then welcome to my office. I have tried to organize. Let me just put my headphones on just so I can make sure that the sound is good, because I actually already recorded this once, and Olivia then listened to it to edit it, and she was like, Monica, your microphone wasn't plugged in. I'm like, yep, we love that. Okay. Anywho, so I actually have bought like a second contraption. I now have three basically contraptions for my podcast setup, microphone, etc. But this one is better. So it allows me to move around the house a little bit more, because I just like to change up my scenery. And I've noticed that sometimes when I have a podcast to go record, I just don't want to go and sit in my podcast studio and do it. Because it's just like fucking bland. It's a studio. It's like the chairs, the table, the background, soundproofing. And sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to go sit in there. And then I have my office, which has like this ridiculous gallery wall in front of me, which you guys can't see because it's behind my computer. I've got a massive vision board. My doggies are comfy. Like, look at Butter right now. He totally loves his chair. It's just, it's a better vibe. Well, not a better vibe, but like sometimes it's the vibe that I need, if that makes sense. Also, I'm in my office all day, every day when I'm doing my clients. And so if I want to quickly do an episode, it's actually so much easier for me to stay in my setup here than have to go and move to a new setup, set up the podcast studio. And even though things are like plugged in and pretty set up, it's still just like I have to move all of my drinks. I have to move the dogs. I have to move my laptop. I have to set up the lighting and like all those sorts of things. So it's nice to just not have to move if I don't want to move. So anyway, and luckily I got a really good microphone, so it just catches the sound no matter kind of where I am, although I needed to have it plugged in. So with that, today we are diving into the topic of the connection between your throat and sex. I did a Instagram post on this that did very, very well. You guys ate it up. It's something that is talked about so heavily in Queen Alchemy, at my immersion. No matter kind of what client I'm working with, this always really comes up around being able to open up their throat more and increase their self-expression and how that then influences their sex life. So let me shut my office door and then let's jump in. So painful sex, which I know many of you struggle with, or not being able to get aroused, it can be the result of many things, right? And one of those things that it can be the result of is a lack of feeling turned on and excited by your life outside the bedroom, right? So you guys know that you've probably heard me say before, does your life turn you on? Because it is so important that your life outside the bedroom actually turns you on. Because otherwise what you're doing is you're trying to get yourself from this 20% to 100% when you're having sex, which is pretty fucking hard. Versus if your life turns you on and you're walking around operating at like 80%, it's so much easier to get yourself from 80% to 100% than 20% to 100%. 100% being orgasm, right? Being that really orgasmic kind of climactic feeling. So when you are living a life that excites you and that makes you feel pleasure in your body frequently, and like guys, being human also means there's plenty of moments in life that just don't excite us. Butter is very interested by this. But if for the majority of your days, you're not excited by your life, maybe that's something that you can change. This year, we're still at the beginning of the year. We have that January momentum. If January is sucking balls for you so far, the good thing is that the lunar cycle starts. The new year lunar cycle starts at the beginning of Feb, as does Chinese New Year. So that's kind of like your second chance. So if you need a second chance, then there's your second chance. But it's really important that your life outside the bedroom does turn you on. And then the other thing that can cause or influence painful sex, not being able to get aroused, that kind of thing, is having a blocked throat chakra. So to all of the people pleasers, to those of you that are afraid of rejection, if you get a frog in your throat when you try and speak, if you'd rather be hit by a car, very graphic, than be in a confrontational situation, I'm really looking at you as I talk today throughout the podcast. So if you are wanting better sex to receive more money and more of your manifestations, and to of course feel safe in speaking up and being seen and drawing boundaries and feeling safe in being able to surrender, because the safety in being able to surrender comes from boundaries. If you haven't listened to the episode on being empoweredly submissive, I would listen to that. You need to heal the micro and all the macro incidences that made your body feel like opening up your throat, speaking your truth, saying whatever it was, is unsafe. And then, so you have to heal that unsafety, and then you have to integrate safety with speaking up, drawing boundaries, being seen, and expressing yourself. So it's not just the healing of what made you feel unsafe, it's also the integration part of the safety. I just realized, did I finish my sentence about being sick? I don't think I did. About, like, I'm sorry if I sound congested. Well, maybe this is actually my brain recovering from sickness. What point is if I'm sounding congested today, I'm hopefully not going to sound too congested, or if I need to have like a little cough and just pause for a second. I was really sick last week with like a 3-day fever and fuck knows what else. It was a big energetic clearing that I asked for. I literally asked my manifestations multiple times that I was letting go of my 2023 self and that I was really stepping in to this version of myself that I am cultivating this year as I become a wife, as I prepare to become a mother, all those good things. I become an author this year. And she got the fucking clearing, because on January 1st, I woke up with a fever and a whole bunch of other things. That was really fun. So anyway, we're still slowly recovering, but we are nearly there. Firstly, you need to heal, back to what we're talking about. Firstly, you need to heal what's causing your throat to feel like it needs to close itself off and that it's unsafe to speak up, and then integrate that safety with speaking, drawing boundaries, being seen, and expressing yourself. And that's where the embodiment piece then comes in, right? So let's kind of go through a little bit of the link between your throat and your cervix. So for a lot of us, we spend our whole childhood often being told, no, be quiet, don't do that. We basically feel like we get shoved into some kind of box, or that it's not accepted for us to express ourselves, right? Stop crying, don't do that, don't be angry, those sorts of things. And of course, we have little to no idea as a child. We don't have any choice over the matter. We're just responding to what's around us, right? We are in that survival. We have no idea how this is actually affecting our body's ability to open, to relax, to surrender, especially as women. And of course, this still relates with men. I don't want to diminish that whatsoever, because through all of the clients that I have worked with that are male, every single one of them has also had blocked throat chakras. They've also had fears around speaking up. And it might not be a fear around saying no per se, but it could be a fear around getting angry and getting expressed and actually expressing emotion. So just remember that, like, men and women are different. We often have very similar threads of the wounds that we experience because we're all human, but the way that we can experience them is often different because of just our different upbringing with being a girl or with being a boy, right? And no one is more, like, no one has more or less trauma, or the trauma is more or less valid. It's all valid. So the tightness that's held in our throat radiates through our whole body, causing our cervix and our vaginal muscles, which is where we hold an enormous amount of emotion and memory and history and trauma and tension. So we hold all of this tension and emotional stuff, let's just say, and it causes our cervix and our vaginal muscles to be tight and not in a good way, and sensitive and closed. And just like when you have a tight muscle, when you have a tight muscle and someone then like jabs their elbow in it, it's really painful. So when you have a really tight vaginal canal and very tight muscles in your vagina, right? So the vaginal canal going up towards your cervix, or down out to the world, depending which way you're looking at it, there are all these muscles going down the walls of your vagina. And they can be really, really tight in a lot of women. And this tightness and this tension, this gripping causes painful sex, right? it causes our whole body to feel tight. And so this is why in Queen Alchemy, we do work around cervical de-armoring and really opening up your body and relaxing, because it's all well and good to just do like feminine practices that you found off Google. That's great. But if your body is still inherently tight and all of your muscles are holding on to dear life, it doesn't matter how much dancing you're doing. If there is still in this inherent feeling of unsafety in speaking up, in being expressed, in saying no, that's being held in your body. So when you as a woman heal all of the shit that causes you to feel unsafe to speak your truth, use your voice, you'll find it easier to open up, to relax your body, to soften your cervix and sex, to be able to receive your manifestations, to be able to surrender, to be able to really embody those feminine qualities with inherent safety. You're not faking it then. It actually becomes a real inherent feeling. And what's interesting, and you can try this at home, is that you will experience better sex and orgasms if you use your voice as a way to help move the energy through your body. And to kind of explain the science of this, and to make this kind of not woo-woo, because it's really not woo-woo, our mouth and our womb develop from the same membrane in utero. There are two indentations that come up on the embryo around day 15 of embryonic development. One of the indentations becomes the mouth, and the other forms the opening for the digestive tract, the digestive system, and the reproductive tract. And even though the spine grows, right, so the mouth and the digestive system and the reproductive tract go further and further away from each other, they are still very much connected. The vagus nerve also runs from the back of your neck, which is the top of your spine, down your tailbone, right, all the way down your tailbone, which is near your cervix, meaning that in situations where you aren't speaking up, the stress is literally being sent down your nervous system and your cervix and muscles to your cervix and to the muscles in your vagina, and a contraction occurs because of the stress and the tension and the constriction. And these constant moments of tightness from fear, whether or like stress or whatever it is, whether it's an actual dangerous situation or whether your amygdala is just overly sensitive, which isn't a good thing, and therefore sending off danger alarm, like danger alarm bells, when you don't actually need to be going into fight, flight, freeze. It doesn't matter whether it's actually dangerous or just perceived danger. It then only causes there to be more and more discomfort during sex. So let me just recap what I just said. So I'm just going to keep this really, really basic. Your mouth, throat, speaking up, etc., throat chakra, is connected to your cervix, vaginal muscles, reproductive area, etc., digestive system, whatnot. Your vagus nerve also runs from the back of your neck, right, top of your spine, down your tailbone, which ends near your cervix. So in situations where your body doesn't feel safe for whatever reason, whether it's perceived danger or actual danger, these signals get felt by your cervix and your vaginal muscles, and you feel that tightness. If you start to become really tuned in with your body, you will notice that in those stressful situations, let's just say when you're sitting in the car and somebody comes to a sudden break, everything tightens, including your vaginal muscles. And so just like you need to go and get a massage when your muscles are really tight in your shoulders, the same thing is required for these internal muscles, but we don't often go and get it done because we don't realize the importance of them and the flow-on effect that this tightness actually has in our life. On the contrary, when your nervous system gets wired to feel safe speaking up, to feel safe using your voice and opening your throat, your body's able to be open, to relax, to surrender, to receive, to be in that state of submissiveness or surrender with safety. So the result isn't just better sex by being able to open up your throat and clear all those blocks. It's also the result of being able to hold more money, attract in what you're deeply desiring to manifest, feel safe in being seen, feel confident in your truth, and being able to have better communication, especially in situations that you use to find very confrontational. So there is a few things that you guys can start doing to help your throat open up and to start to just get more energy moving through your throat chakra rather than it continuing to stay blocked. And of course, the thing that is going to give you the biggest results is doing Queen Alchemy or doing the immersion. And let me quickly explain to you why before I give you these different things that you can start doing at home. The reason why is because it doesn't matter how much humming you do or deep breathing you do, like those things are still fantastic. But if the foundational, like bottom of the iceberg has not been obliterated and eliminated, it's still there. So if you grew up, for example, with a parent that made you feel like it was wrong to cry, and you have not dealt with the grief and the abandonment that came up for you in those moments and the pure like rejection and literal fear of your safety as a child of, I am not inherently loved and safe as I am. If I do not start to stop crying, then my mom is going to leave me and I'm going to be all alone and I'm going to die. If you have not dealt with that inherent sense of unsafety and the trauma that that has imprinted onto your nervous system, then the deep breathing is going to be great, but it's only going to get you so far. And I say it's only going to get you so far because our body remembers everything. Our body remembers everything. And so if you have not dealt with the grief and the abandonment, like what I was just saying, that is very much sitting there, you are going to maybe get to like 80% of your healing, but there's going to be that 20% left. And so I just say, why not rip the Band-Aid off and do it well from the beginning? Because you're going to end up saving yourself a lot of time. And I say this from experience because I've had a lot of people that will come to me and they have done a lot of other courses, or have done a lot of other like, you know, healing work and whatnot. They've gone to Reiki for years and energy healers for years. And those things are absolutely not bad. What you have to understand is that when you go to somebody else, like an energy healer, let's say for example, and they are doing energy healing on you, it's not that it doesn't work. It very much does work. But what you have to remember is that if you have not used your mind and your body to feel that grief, to actually be like, wow, it's there, and then to let it go and to actually finish the trauma cycle yourself, you haven't finished the trauma cycle. They can't finish it for you. They can't magically just take it out of your body and then you'd be like, oh, I'm not affected by it anymore. Only you can do that. And that's why with my healing technique, it's very much about I'm guiding you because you are your greatest healer. I'm guiding you to be able to take your own body and your own self through these different modalities so that you can feel yourself letting go of the trauma, but so that you can also cognitively and somatically choose to let go of that situation and no longer have it burdening you. But if you're just lying there on a table and someone's like, I cleared your throat chakra, you haven't necessarily felt that. I know for some people, me included, you can totally feel the energy moving, which is amazing. But trust me when I say it is more powerful when you yourself are the one guiding yourself through and actually being able to cognitively and somatically choose it, feel it, and move it. So that's where kind of the difference is, right? And so I find it really, really helpful for people, especially when it comes to trauma healing, to be able to actually experience releasing and sorry, not releasing, finishing the trauma cycle themselves, because that is what's so essential with trauma healing, is actually being able to finish the trauma cycle, okay? Not just clear the energy. So Queen Alchemy or the immersion or both of them, obviously one-on-one as well, they are going to be your best things for healing any kind of trauma that is being stored in your throat chakra, any issues with boundaries, rejection, people pleasing, not feeling safe to speak up, fear of confrontational situations, those kinds of things. All right. Okay. So my things to do that I want to give you guys. So first thing is making noises. So humming, singing, taking big sighs on the out breath is allowing that vibration to be healing to your throat and for you to start to get the energy moving and actually the energy, in your throat opening through getting that energy moving. The next one that I said before was practicing deep breathing. So really making sure that you are breathing in and out and your chest is not rising, breathing in for four, breathing out for four, four, or breathing in for four, breathing out for five, breathing in for four, breathing out for six, really slowing down your breath and actually giving yourself time throughout the day to just pause and breathe. Something that I've said to plenty of you before is when you go to the toilet and you're sitting on that loo, whether you're escaping from your children or whether you are taking a break and going to the bathroom at work, it doesn't matter. That is your chance to do some deep breathing. I'm not joking. If you tell me that you cannot fit in literally 1 minute to just pause and do really, really deep breathing, we have an issue. And we have an issue because what this is telling me is not only is your nervous system in like so violently dysregulated, it's also telling me that you have no ability to prioritize regulating your nervous system throughout the day. So of course you're staying in this stressed out fight, flight, freeze cycle because there are no moments. There's not one moment throughout the day where you are consciously actually pulling your nervous system back down and grounding your body. There are so many moments throughout the day that you can just pause and breathe. Let me just give you a few of mine. Brushing my teeth. On the toilet, like I was saying before, when the kettle is boiling and I'm making a cup of tea, I will stand there and I will just breathe. When I take the dogs outside and I need to be kind of quick because I have to go to my next appointment or whatever it is, I'll let the dogs out. I'll go out there and I'll just stand there and watch them, slowly deep breathe, and then I bring them back inside. When I'm making eggs in the morning for us, when I'm making our breakfast, I'm in the kitchen, maybe I'm tidying up a little bit, I'm doing it nice and slowly and I'm breathing at the same time, or I'm standing there just literally watching the eggs cook, I'm breathing. When I'm in the car, breathing. When I'm at the checkout at Whole Foods and I'm waiting for them to bring up my stuff, I'm breathing. Like that already, there are so many little situations where instead of pulling out your phone and scrolling fucking Instagram, you literally can stand there and breathe. One of the big things that I'm also trying to help you guys with in regards to regulating your nervous system is, and many of you would know this if you listen to all my podcast episodes, is I am sending out more comprehensive emails so that you are not feeling like the only way to get the nuggets is through Instagram. Because I want to support you guys in getting off Instagram this year. So if that is something that you're wanting to do, as in spend less time on your phone, then please make sure you're on my email list and you are reading the emails because of course there's going to be some emails in there of like Queen Alchemy is closing in 2 days, but like you can ignore them if you don't care about Queen Alchemy. There's plenty of other emails where I'm giving you double the amount that I'd be able to give you in a caption and you're not then getting like stuck on your phone where you're accidentally scrolling for 15 minutes and you didn't realize that. The other thing that you can also do that I've done for a few of the creators that I follow that I really enjoy their content of is I've put notifications on. So I get notified when they post something, whether it's to their story or whether it's to like their feed. You just go on their profile page, top right corner, there's like a little like a little bell and you click that. And I found that really helpful because what it's helped me to feel is I don't need to go check Instagram because I'm going to get notified if they've posted something and then I will go on. So I've put that on for a heap of people. And so what that's done is that's actually really helped me to just not be checking my Instagram app nearly as much. And I won't miss out on anything because I'm going to get notified when they've posted something and then I can go check it. So that could also be another option for some of you is to put my notifications on. So you'll get notified when I post something. And that way you're kind of reminded every day to go check my account rather than going on Instagram every 5 minutes. And you're probably not even aware of how much you go on. And, you know, in doing that and going on Instagram, it's that immediate dopamine, it's that stress to your nervous system. And as a result of like the comparisonitis and everything, that can cause you to also feel more constricted in your body, causing your throat to tighten, causing your body to get into this tight, constrictive trauma response, essentially, because you feel like you're not doing enough in your life. You feel like you're comparing yourself. You feel like you are behind or whatever it is. And that can then lead to the painful sex. Do not underestimate how every single thing is connected, right? The amount that you look on your phone is connected to your sleep. The amount of water that you are drinking is connected to your digestive system. The stress that you feel in your business because you don't know what the fuck to post, you know, throughout the week can be causing the fights in your relationship. Do not underestimate that because I've been doing this for a long enough amount of time to be able to realize that, wow, it surprises me the connections that people's subconscious are making, and even it surprises them of how something so random is related to something kind of so obvious, but it doesn't seem obvious in the beginning, if that makes sense. Okay, the next little point that I wanted to give you guys is to practice self-regulation. So kind of going on the note of nervous system work and regulation as well, I've been seeing a lot of stuff online, which is positive and negative, about like the benefit of co-regulating. And there is a lot of benefits to it, more so in the fact of like use your partner to regulate your nervous system. My answer to that is no, don't do that. Do not use your partner to regulate your nervous system. And let me explain to you why. So it's fantastic and it's beautiful that you get to use your partner to regulate when you need to. But if you are using your partner to regulate your nervous system because you don't know how to self-regulate your nervous system, what you're actually doing is creating unhealthy codependence, number one, and you are taking the power away from yourself and away from your body and putting it into them. Only they can regulate your nervous system. Well, what happens on the days they can't regulate your nervous system? Now you're all of a sudden dysregulated, right? It feels a lot more powerful when you are able to regulate yourself. So do not become reliant on your partner regulating your nervous system. Use your dogs to regulate your nervous system if you want, because they're always there. But do not rely on your partner becoming that source of regulation. They are that cherry on top, right? That cherry on top of that already gluten-free, dairy-free cupcake, where it is such a blessing to be in a healthy relationship where you do have that privilege of having them there to help regulate you in those really stressful moments, right? Like the other day, I was having a coughing fit when I was sick and I'm like smacking so hard on the kitchen bench to get my fiance's attention because he was in his office and I knew he couldn't hear me like coughing, and he comes running out and I'm like crying. Cause you know, those coughing fits where you like can't breathe, like obviously you can breathe, but you feel like you can't breathe and you're congested, so you can't breathe through your nose. Then you start crying, which just adds to the not being able to breathe through your nose. Anyway, I was having one of those, and that was a moment where him running over to me and like rubbing my back allowed my body to calm down. It was like more of that primitive need, right? So it allowed my body to calm down very quickly, regulate itself, calm down, and then I could start breathing again and finish my coughing fit. And you know, we all know how that ends. Disgusting. But anyway, so in those moments, I'm not saying don't use your partner to help calm you down, because that's part of the point of having a partner, right? What I'm saying is when you've had a stressful day, stop leaning on them all the time, because that is what creates unhealthy codependence. It's also what just kind of takes out some of the sexiness of a relationship, right? You, of course, want to have those healthy moments where you can use them when you've had a really stressful day. And I'm not denying that for any of you. And I do that. Of course, I do that. But what I'm saying is if you are overly reliant on them regulating you, stop doing it. You need to learn to self-regulate, because in self-regulation, it helps build self-trust. In self-regulation, it helps build self-confidence and like you have your own back, especially if you grew up in a situation where you were the one always having to regulate your partner, your parents, or you felt like they didn't know how to regulate you. You felt like you constantly were being betrayed by your body, whatever the situation was. The best thing that you can do to help reconnect with your body is learn to regulate yourself, and not rely on somebody else to do it for you. Because like I said before, and I'm going to say it again because it's very important, if you constantly rely on somebody else to regulate you, you are outsourcing your power to them. So like I said, it's not never, it's just for the vast majority of time, you want to know that you can self-regulate, but sometimes you don't want to. And therefore, when you don't want to, you got them. All right. So self-regulation is really important because it helps build that inherent sense of safety, which is then going to help your body to feel safe, to be able to speak your truth, to say no, to put your foot down, to deal with rejection, to open up thy throat. So like I said, co-regulate with your doggies, and only sometimes co-regulate with your partner, but don't obviously like start overthinking it and being like and overanalyze yourself with it. That's not going to help either. Okay. And then the last step is obviously to work with me. whether it's joining the next round of Queen Alchemy. The next round of Queen Alchemy closes on January 25th, so very, very soon. So if you haven't filled in your form, please make sure that you fill in your form, because it literally closes, hold on, I'm checking right now. It closes, yes, next Friday. So if you haven't filled out your form, that's really imperative for you to do so. And then the other option is, if you love in person, to come to my immersion. If you are new to following me or listening to the podcast, go back and listen to some of the recent episodes that I did. I talk about the immersion a little bit in there as well. Do not forget that this very well may be the last immersion for the next couple of years, just because I'm planning to be pregnant next year. And I don't know how that's going to affect my ability to do an immersion. Okay. So we have one in New York. We have one in Paris. I'm so fucking excited for them. All the details are on the website. It's currently waitlisted. The tickets are reopening in March, but you can put your name on the waitlist. You can put the money aside so you're ready to rock and roll. Put the dates aside in your calendar and you'll be able to buy your ticket in March when we open them again. Okay, so I hope that you guys learned a ton in today's episode and that you are ready to start to be more vocal in the bedroom. Because like I said, and do not miss this little tip that I said to you guys before, actually opening up your throat and being more vocal and making more noise in the bedroom is going to help you to have better orgasms and have better sex, because that opening up your throat opens up your cervix as well. So instead of being quiet during sex, stop, be loud, express yourself, speak, moan, do like become animalistic, whatever it is that you want to do. But I cannot stress to you enough and explain, and like, I can't even think of the word. Point is just trust me on this. If you are a quiet mouse when you have sex, start to become a lion. Start to become a lioness. Let that roar out, because it is incredible how when you open up your throat and when you have that energy running through, it allows your body to open up more for him to go deeper, for you to be able to experience more pleasure. You get the gist, right? The other thing also, for those of you that want to try or just want to play with this, if you do feel comfortable being able to speak your truth and you do feel really inherently safe, this is important. It's important for you to be able to say no and inherently feel safe and draw boundaries and put your foot down before you start doing this. Play with pressure on your throat, whether it's choking, whether it's just a hand there, whether it's, we get the gist. Play with that, because again, it's more energy flowing to that area, which can really, really magnify the pleasure that you feel during sex. Now, of course, for you, if you want to be able to play with more of the kinks that you, let's say, crave and desire in the bedroom, it is so important for you to be able to feel so strong in your boundaries and being able to draw your boundaries, embody your boundaries, speak your boundaries, say no, express yourself, etc., because that brings the safety that is needed in sex. It doesn't matter if your partner accepts you. Do you accept yourself to be able to say no? You could be with the most beautiful man, but if you don't accept yourself in saying no, you're not going to say no. And then you're not feeling 100% safe. And it's not actually his fault, right? Safety isn't just about him, ladies, or men listening. It's not just about you. It's not just the man's job to make the woman feel safe in sex, in the relationship, in life, whatever. It's also your job. You can make yourself feel safe. You need to have that sense of safety in order for you to be able to even fully receive his safety. So even if he's doing all the things to make you still feel safe, but you still are having painful sex, you still can't express yourself in the bedroom, you're still struggling to be able to release your emotions, whatever it is, it might not be him. It might be you. So don't just blow him off. Don't think that it's his fault. Don't think you're not compatible. Don't think the relationship is doomed, or like, you know, he's actually a narcissist and your intuition is telling you like maybe, but also maybe not. Maybe it's because you've never felt safe. Maybe it's because people have always left you, so you're waiting for that to happen. Remember that in anything in relationships, you have a role to play in it. Even if he's been a dick, you still have a role to play in it. And when you realize that, when you actually accept that and get your ego out of the picture, it becomes really helpful and productive because it allows you to get honest with what was my role in this situation. And maybe that role was only 10%, but there was still a role. And so it feels good knowing you can clean up your bit. And then if he's not cleaning up his bit, you've done everything you can. But too many women don't clean up their side of the street. They put it all on him. And it's like, it's not all him. It's also you, right? If you're in a partnership, you got to do your bit and they have to do their bit. All right, I will see you guys next week for another juicy episode. If you haven't left a written review, please, please, please do so. All you have to do is just go on iTunes on like the podcast thing, the podcast app, leave a little written review, sharing your thoughts, send a screenshot to media@monikiyateshealth.com. And I have a meditation that you cannot get anywhere that I will send to you as a little thank you. And as usual, I really appreciate it when you guys share the podcast on your Instagram stories. It goes a really long way in supporting the show, and with my book coming out and everything this year, I really, really, really want to get this podcast into the hands of more people. So I appreciate all of you that have already supported, and please continue to do so.